Welcome, everybody. We are starting our next session of the Conscious Wisdom Festival. And today's session is featured wonderful astrologer Rick DiClemente. He is an intuitive astrologer practicing for over 30 years. Rick has a new book out called The Exquisite Zodiac that we're going to touch on a bit here today. He writes articles regularly for Om Times magazine. He has previously hosted his own radio talk show. He's taught many classes and workshops through the years and has studied thousands of charts. So I'm excited to speak with him today. He knows a lot of great information, and he has natural psychic abilities that come through as well. So we're going to get some good messages and good insights about astrology. Welcome, Rick.
Well, thank you, Molly. Thank you very much for having me. I look forward to it.
I'm so glad you're here today. Just my own personal opinion, your book was excellent, and I'm excited to talk about The Exquisite Zodiac. We're going to cover a lot of things in this session today. So could you start by telling us a little bit about sun signs and what you have grown to understand about astrology?
Well, thank you for the compliment. Sun signs is what really led me into writing the book, even though the book is not about sun signs. People get confused between what is a sun sign, what isn't. Frankly, what a sun sign is the moment of spring, the next 30 days, is what we call Aries. It's all based on the moment of spring. Then the next 30 days we call Taurus. That's why you see in the newspapers different dates that these signs start and stop, because it's not the same every year. When you line up the planets with the stars, that's a different astrology. That is what the Hindus use, and that's Vedic astrology. And that's why there are two zodiacs. We Westerners use what's called tropical, which means that every spring it's always zero Aries. It's not the same with the stars and the astronomers. They're two different things. Well, I've done this for so long, and having a radio show for many years, people over-identify with, I'm a Virgo, I'm a Libra, I'm a Scorpio, and they really don't know what's in their chart. Your chart is a map, exact map of where you were born, what the stars, what the planets look like. Astrology has very little to do with the stars. It has mostly to do with the planets. And when you get into quantum mechanics, you find out it really doesn't have much to do with the planets either, which is another story. But anyhow, let's say you, for instance, Molly, being an Aries, you don't know unless you know your chart. You may have four other planets in Aries. You may have just the sun in Aries. If you are in Aries, if your sun is there, and that's why they call it the sun sign. And your three most important things in a birth chart or a natal chart is your moon sign and your rising sign. Now, the moon and the sun sign. The moon goes around Aries once a month, so you could be born during the month of Aries, and your moon could be in any one of the 12 sectors. And the moon's very, very critical, great big deal in astrology. It's your second most important planet because it represents your emotional nature, plus many other things. The rising sign changes every day because the Earth is in the middle of a chart and the Earth spins around. So, literally, Aries rises once every day for 2 hours, Taurus rises next for 2 hours, gets to the peak, and then it sets. So, the astrologer uses mathematics or uses computers nowadays, and we draw a map of where your Venus is and your Mars and your Jupiter, etc. And once we have that map drawn, we see the inner complexities of the personality. So, what happens with the sun signs? We tell you over and over in the book that my partner and I worked hard on the book. Her name is Liza Jane Brown. She's 35 years astrology herself. We wrote about the archetypal essence of each sign. So if I talk about Taurus, you may know a Taurus that's different. If I talk about Aquarius, you may know an Aquarius that's just like it. You may know an Aquarius that's not like it. And that's because of the other planets and the other symbols in the chart. But the book is about the archetype. What is at the real center of each sign? So you have to kind of leave your ego and your sun sign at the door when you read this book. The Exquisite Zodiac is named because the Zodiac has an inner intelligence that is divinely guided, you might say. But when I talk about Virgo, for instance, you read in the other books like Del Horoscope and other magazines, and you read about Virgo, and it says they're picky, and they're perfectionists, and they're analytical, and they're hardworking, and they're very honest. But what this book does is show you why. Once you describe the real essence down at the seed kernel of each person, then all the adjectives that you know Virgo make sense, because you understand why. We spend a lot of time how one sign changes into the next sign, one sign changes into the next sign. So we show how all 12 signs are very unique, they're very different, and they're also very similar. Now, I hope I didn't get you too lost on that bit.
No, that was excellent. And I think that, you know, regardless of what you, the listener, knows about astrology, what Rick is doing is taking it to a new level of understanding. So perhaps you know yourself as a Cancer or
right.
a Gemini. Well, what Rick is doing is taking it to a next level of understanding so that you can dive deeper into determining why you chose that energy to work
right.
with and what
right.
the gifts are and everything about that.
Yeah, for instance, you might be a Cancer and have a lot of fourth house and a lot of Cancer, and you'd be extremely, like the book says. You might be a Cancer with a bunch of Leo and a bunch of Aries in you, and you're not Cancer-like at all. They're always known as being kind of hypersensitive. Well, some Cancers I know, like John Wayne and James Cagney, they weren't not too hypersensitive. Okay, but you have to look at the moon placement and all the other angles in there. So what the book is about, don't be deceived, what the book is about is what the Cancer energy itself is like. Now you might be a Taurus and have a lot of Cancer in you. You know, what I find with my clients, and this is honest to goodness, almost everybody has 5 or 6 signs in them very strong. Really. My chart has a lot of Capricorn, Pisces, Aquarius, it's got Sag, it's got Scorpio, it's got Libra. Those 6 signs mainly in my chart. Everybody's different. Some people, like my brother, was all Aries and Pisces. I'm sorry, he was all Pisces and Leo. So you don't know until you get your chart done. And if you get your chart done on a computerized form, it will tell you. You can go to astro.com and you can get all the charts you want for free, very nice site, and you'll even get interpretations that are computerized. But you must be very wary when you get computerized interpretation, because it really does take an advanced astrologer to weigh all these conflicting symbols and come up with the real story.
Yes, because every person has their own formula. And so
that's right. That's
we
right.
each know, okay, my sun sign is
right.
Gemini.
Right.
But maybe
right.
in your formula, as you described, Rick, you have a lot of other energies that are
that's
also
right.
very strong.
Yeah. Yeah, for instance, I've been reading about Da Vinci. Da Vinci was an Aries, but when you go back before the Gregorian calendar, he was really a Taurus. But when you do his chart, because thank God somebody wrote down the time he was born, he had tremendous amount of Gemini in him. And what Tauruses don't move around and get all excited about all these new fangled ideas. It was his Gemini in him that he was one moment formulating a new type of paint. The next moment he's devising helicopters. The next moment he's painting the Last Supper. This guy had endless curiosity, and it comes from his Gemini in his chart. Now, the Taurus in him is what kept him digging and digging and being persistent and living a rather simple life. But see, that's why you really have to be very cautious about identifying too much with your sun sign. So in this book, when you read it, you need to stick your tongue in your cheek and you need to remember that there's a lot more to me than just my sun sign.
And that's really exciting because it's part of this theme we're in right now of knowing ourselves better and
yes.
finding new places to be empowered. And maybe you felt
yes.
that your sun sign or other interpretations of your astrology chart were limited.
Right.
And what I
right.
like is that Rick opens those doorways and works with the energies, the prominent energies in your chart to
right.
give you more greater self-understanding.
And to be very honest with you, there are not that many good astrologers out there, and that's starting to change because it's a very, very difficult thing to do. And we're just now starting to get some really good ones, and they're coming on strong. So use your intuition if you get a reading. If you feel like the person's guessing, then tune them out. But if they zero in on you, they know who you are in your real core essence, then you got a good one. I think you are right, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I just think that astrology's time is here now. There's so many symbols I've been reading and watching. As you know, through the ages, astrology had its ups and downs in terms of being socially acceptable. I think that we're really starting to see astrology not only as valid, but we're starting to see it as the valid center of all these other sciences. Like I train people who are psychologists, and they use their astrology as a center to get started. People that are massage therapists. Do you know that the RX, when you see RX on a medicine, that is a symbol for the word radix, R-A-D-I-X. And that's another name for a birth chart, the radix chart. And in the old days, in the medieval days, the doctor would put RX on your notations, on your record, which told the nurse that, yes, I have looked at his birth chart.
That's fascinating. I did not know that.
It is fascinating because when you look at a birth chart, you can tell the person may have trouble in the stomach, they may have trouble in the intestines, etc. But that's where that comes from. So it's an old science. What I think we should do, because I know it's painful for listeners to just listen theoretically, I think that we should do a quick little trip around the zodiac, and I'll be referring to the book a lot, but I think it would help them understand.
Perfect, yes. And Rick's book is The Exquisite Zodiac.
It can be found on theexquisitezodiac.com.
That would be great because I also like in the book that you tell the stories and you
yeah.
bring things
yeah.
to life. So, yes, let's do that.
And the other thing I do want to mention is the website is, there are two websites, one starself.com, one's exquisitezodiac.com. And also, if you have a Kindle, it's available via Amazon, and we are working currently on the Nook version. What we do in the book, it took a long time to take 35 years of study and 35 years of lecturing to break it into a book. I had it on audio tape, but I had to break it into a book format, so I finally agreed to see the zodiac as six. There are six different reasons I found that each sign is the way it is, why Aries is different than Taurus, etc. They're all itemized in six different chapters in the book, but two of the main things in the book is that each sign of the zodiac is like a baby growing up. The early signs of the zodiac are very young-like, youthful-like, and they figuratively grow up as they go on through the zodiac, and you have your elder signs being Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. This does not mean maturity. It just means a level of a kind of a mood that you project. You've all seen people who are very childlike, but they could be very mature. Look at Bob Hope. Bob Hope was 100 years old, 99, and he was a Gemini. He had that playful Gemini spirit, and Geminis have that playful spirit. They cannot do anything about it. It's got nothing to do with maturity, but they just have a playful spirit. Likewise, you may see a Capricorn baby, 10th sign of the zodiac, or a Pisces baby, and they seem ageless. They seem old, old souls. We use those words. So the zodiac is very much symbolic of the young baby growing up through the 12 stages. And the book has plenty of talk about that. The next thing that's really important is that each sign really reacts strongly against the sign before it. So if you're a Virgo, you may have a hard time with Leos. If you're a Sag, you may have a hard time with Scorpios. It's because while the Scorpio is busy, the eighth sign, being itself, it's doing its thing, it's got its jobs to do, after a while it cannot keep doing it anymore. It's got to grow, it's got to mutate, it has to take a leap. So it gets kind of sick of itself, and it transcends, and you have a morphing into the sign of Sagittarius. Well, look at Scorpio, how intense it is, and look at Sagittarius, how fun-loving and carefree it is. That's why. That's one of the main reasons. So it all starts with Aries, the baby, the infant, and that's why one of my best friends was 92 years old, and he died. He was an Aries, and he was just like a little kid. We would watch sports together, and he would throw things at the TV, and when the bad call would come on a football game. But that's why Aries people are very self-oriented. Now, in the book, I don't talk a lot about selfish or unselfish. I break the bottom half of the zodiac, the first six signs, down into self-oriented, and the last six, non-self-oriented or other-oriented, which means that people like you, Molly, you are basically self-oriented. We could tell by the kind of show you do that you must have a lot of Pisces in you and Aquarius, because you're reaching way out past just the self. But a lot of Aries people are very content at talking about themselves all the time. You know, they're very self, they learn about themselves. And I always use the analogy of a board. You ever see a little kid come up to you and he pounded a nail into a board and he puts it in front of you and says, "Look what I did." And it's kind of cute. And you're kind of enamored at how innocent he is. That's the Aries stage. That's the Aries stage. Aries is very fascinated with themselves and what they can do. And that's why they're so adventurous. But, as with all signs, it can go too far. It can become me, 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 me all the time, and people will turn that person off. So Aries being the first sign is like jet fuel. They're born, they're fresh, they don't know about anything about restrictions, it's all green light, it's all gas pedal, no rear view mirror, let's go. And I think all the listeners here can tell easily that Miss Molly has that refreshing, pioneering, airy spirit. Now, how do you describe what you feel with your Aries archetype, Molly?
Well, I do feel the Aries energy, but I also have strong Libra and strong Pisces and strong Sagittarius. So for me, it's
there
a need
go.
To take it out of myself, because actually
that's
I don't even want to talk about myself.
that's because you have a lot of Pisces in you. That's exactly right.
Right.
Now, if you were all Aries, you would not be interested in anything beyond you, because you're the whole world. Now, I don't have your chart in front of me. Let me check. Maybe I do. I won't expose it, but at least I'll talk some pieces. I got
but
my
I think
computer
this,
here.
This is
here
helpful for people to know that they have many layers of their being. And so, you know,
that's
you
right.
might, you can look at your parents and think, oh, my mom is a Libra, but you might experience her as an Aries, depending
you
on other
are,
energy in her chart.
You are a Cancer. You are a Cancer. Why? You were born when the sun was high in the sky and the moon was rising. And anything that's rising right on the horizon, you are a lot like that planet. So rather than say Cancer, you are very lunar. You really identify with the great feminine. And Aries is a very masculine energy. But your moon is very strong. That's why I say to you that what you're doing today is not just spreading information. You're mothering people. You're nurturing people. That's what your main function is. You can't turn that off. You have some Aries. You have a very strong Neptune, got a strong Saturn. So you have a lot of strong Pluto. So anyhow, when we go back to the, you could see how when the astrologer sees the whole chart, we can see. Now, does that surprise you to find out that you're very Cancerian?
Well, no, because I'm an astrologer, too, so I know
okay.
my chart very well.
Okay.
And very familiar with it, so,
I didn't,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, well, very good. So what happens is the Aries being the baby, being so innocent, is why we like being with them, because they have a very refreshing, nobody lives in the here and now more than the Aries. And the Taurus comes along, and, you know, I'm making this whole book reduced to 20 minutes here. The Taurus comes along and says, will you quit flying around so much I can't get a handle on you? And a Taurus is an earth sign, and a Taurus is symbolic of the baby who's grown up a little bit. You know, he has his foot in his mouth, and he's shaking his toys, and he's grabbing onto all his stuff, and he's very centered. And Taurus is all about being anchored to the earth and being, in fact, in this book, I don't agree anymore that Venus is a ruler of Taurus. I claim that the earth itself is the ruler of Taurus. But anyhow, the Taurus sees all that Aries flying around like a balloon with no air in it, and it wants it to settle down and get planted and get anchored and squat and claim some of the earth. And so now we see our roots going down into the earth, and we see very, very stable people, such as Da Vinci, except, you know, Da Vinci had the curiousness of all of his Aries, but he, of his Gemini, I mean. So the Taurus goes along, and the soul gets tired. The soul says, we're not going anywhere. We never go out. Let's go do something. This world is big. And out comes the Gemini. Now we got the toddler and the Gemini with their endless curiosity and changing the sentence mid-sentence and no real center to them. They're just flying around. I call them the mobile library in the book. And the Geminis are fascinated, and they use the word interesting in every sentence. Every sentence they use the word interesting. You mark my word. So I should say something about that. I learned by watching people. I read the books in the early days, but then I shut the books up, and I started watching people and talking to my clients. That's how I learned my truth, because I wasn't comfortable just digesting what was printed in the book. But now we get into the most complex part of the zodiac, the most absolutely difficult. First of all, Gemini is the hardest sign to describe, because I challenge anybody, and I mean I've looked everywhere, to tell me why Gemini is the twins. They tell you it's got two moons. They tell you it's the twins. Geminis tell you we seem like two people, but I want to know why. And I wrote the best I could. I took almost a year to write Gemini. But then Cancer comes along, and man, is that is the most difficult turning point in the zodiac, because that's the first stage where the soul learns to feel. You see, Aries is fire, action. Taurus is earth, down to earth, practical. Gemini, air, ideas, exchange. Then, boom, you splash down in the water. Where in the heck am I? And what does a Cancer do? What do you do when you're thrown in the pool and you're not expecting it? You grab onto something. You're not used to water. And that's why Cancers get this reputation for holding on or being needy. You understand?
I think that this is really great for everyone to know that, to understand their own different energies.
Yeah.
And you have a composition of these. So if there's a part of you that feels very Cancerian, explains why.
Yeah, and there's other parts of you that aren't. That's right. I got people that will shoot me if I call them Cancers. They hate being a Cancer, and they hate their reputation. Cancers are very timid, and they broadcast on their forehead, please don't hurt me. The United States is a Cancer. The Republican Party is a Cancer. And this is one reason we're having difficulty now being a Cancer country, which I will write about as we get closer to the election. But Cancer is a wonderful sign, just like all of them. everybody contributes. Aries contributes their fire and their bravery, and Taurus contributes its down-to-earth firmness and dependability, and Gemini is the toddler that teaches us how to think and how to communicate. And then Cancer brings us family and chicken noodle soup and grandma's house on the holidays and feelings and family. And that's why it's a very tough sign, because it's the first sign that feels anything. And that doesn't mean Aries, Taurus, and Gemini don't. It means it's not their primary focus. But Cancer, I don't care what you tell a Cancer, their main concern is about emotional security. And if their emotional security, look at the United States. Why do you think we have armies in 135 countries of the world? Why? Where did we get the status of world police? It's because we're threatened any time another country stands up. We don't think they're going to come get us, but we're making sure they don't. So that's because we're Cancer and we're so self-protective. So then this insecure Cancer, which is like the 10, 11-year-old, Lady Diana was the perfect example of Cancer. All these authors would burn up 12 thesauruses trying to describe Lady Diana, and all they had to do was say Cancer. It's that innocence, and then juxtapose her, put her next to her husband, the intense Scorpio, and to the tough old Taurus queen. Of course she was the world's princess, the innocent. So Leo comes next at fifth, and Leo's fire, and Leo says, oh, I'm tired of being so sensitive. You know, everybody's babying me. I'm going to show this jungle who's the boss. So the Leo comes out the stage of the teenager. I'm here and I'm going to show you what I can handle. It's a very proud stage. But what people don't know is inside Leo, and not buried too deeply, is a Cancer that's trying to get past its skin. And that's why Leo is all about getting attention in the limelight, like Madonna, is because by getting attention, the Cancer inside grows more confident. Are you following me?
I think we all are. Yeah, this is excellent. I like the progression.
Well, I hope you're following. I don't want to yak too much, but I'm trying to give you the real heart of it. So the Leo ends up being two types of Leos, as with all signs. The incurable Leo, who is the dark side, is the kind who can never get enough attention. Attention, 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 they just can't get enough. And they actually look out at the world and they think the world is finite. And if there's anybody jealous in the workplace, it's a Leo. And they'll turn it around and tell me about how everybody else is jealous. It's the Leo, because they think there's only so much love, there's only so much money, there's only so much attention. This is the shadow side now. The good side of Leo is just wonderful people, just very generous, very big-hearted, fun. And what the difference is when they get kudos, they absorb it and learn from it and grow. And that's what the Leo stage is about, taking that Cancer, sensitive Cancer, and giving it confidence. So that's what happens in Leo. We gain confidence. And it just so happens that lion in The Wizard of Oz, he was the bravest of all. And Bert Lahr, the actor, was actually Leo himself. So it all ends up in the lap of Virgo. It always does. Virgo's the one that cleans up for everybody. This is the sixth sign. It's the final of the me. The bottom half of the zodiac is about me, and the top half is about we. The bottom half of the zodiac is about developing the self. It gets perfected in the final sign of Virgo, and then we go meet people in the sign of Libra. This is all symbolic. So in the Virgo stage, it's symbolic of the young man or the young woman, maybe in high school, about to graduate. What happens in Virgo is the buck stops here. Virgos cannot stand whiners. They can't stand it. and the buck stops here, no more whining. If you fall off the horse, get back on. So the Virgo looks at the Aries, who's so self-absorbed, and says, let's get with it. And the Virgo looks at the Taurus, and the Taurus is slow, like the tortoise, and not living in a very big world. And the Virgo looks at the Gemini, and he says, quit complaining because you're bored. And he looks at the Cancer and says, well, quit whining about your position here. Let's get tougher. And the Virgo has a real hard time with Leo, which is me. Well, Virgos can't stand that. Virgos can't stand being shown off. They want to be in the background. They won't accept compliments. And they're tremendous workers, great people, very honest. I'm not going to mention much about it, Molly, but in the new book, I make the ruler of Virgos this planetoid called Chiron, C-H-I-R-O-N, the same prefix as chiropractor. I no longer think that Mercury is the ruler or co-ruler of Virgo. I think it's Chiron. Chiron is like an asteroid, but he's out beyond Saturn, between Saturn and Uranus. He's actually what's called a centaur. He's really, really big right now in the world, traveling with Neptune, and that's why you're seeing everybody's coming to you and saying, I want to stop what I'm doing. I want to become a light worker. Everybody's doing it. Everybody. And that's where it's coming from, Chiron. I'll talk more about that later. But anyhow, the sixth sign says, I've got to perfect things. The sixth sign knows what's coming next, which is the top half of the zodiac, and Libras are going to go out and meet people just like Cinderella. And Virgo says, we're going to crease our pants, we're going to comb our hair, we're not going to make excuses. Virgos admire people who are self-made, and then we take the step across that critical line between Virgo and Libra. And now you've got Cinderella shined up, taken out of the kitchen, and she walks into the debutante ball. That's why Libras are the way they are. Does this make any sense, Molly?
Of course, yes. And I think that people who are listening are finding, too, that you're talking about different parts of their own personality. So I hope
that's
this
right.
helps you sew it together and to see
right.
why you have all these different parts of yourself and how
right.
they might work against each other, but at the same time,
yeah.
they all serve a purpose.
Yeah, like I have a lot of people that have a lot of Leo and Virgo, and their Leo part doesn't like the Virgo and vice versa, and I have to teach them that your Leo part is necessary. We're not going to fight it and push it down and vice versa. You need both. And by helping them understand that they are both, see, once again, I can't yell this loud enough. You are not your sun sign. You are not your sun sign. That's a big part of you. And you might be an Aries and be very Aries-like, but you might be an Aries and be not much Aries-like. Okay. So what Cinderella does is she crosses into Libra, and here comes one of the biggest misunderstandings of the zodiac, which is called the scales. And if you ask anybody about the scales, they all say, oh, it's about fairness, and it's about balance, and it's about harmony. But it's not. It's all about comparison. And that's why you use a scale, to compare. And that's why Libra does nothing but compare. Almost every sign is always doing one thing, and I'll go back through that. Libra is always comparing. Well, you've been in the kitchen all your life. Now you're at a party. She's wearing a blue dress. I got a red dress. Her hair's blonde. Mine is black. They got a big house. I got a little house. He makes more money. I make less money. This is why you can see the shadow side and the good side of Libra. The negative side of Libra is they're very worldly. They don't want anything to do with spirit. They want a bigger house. They want the country club. They want to look pretty. They're hung up on how they look. The good side of Libra, if they use it in a healthy fashion, depends on how you use it, is you're very charming, very tactful. You know, Barbara Walters is a very good example of the archetype. When I point out people, I point out the archetype. It means they're really representative of that center. Like when I talk about Sagittarius, I think of John Stewart, and I think of Bette Midler. When I think of Libra, I think about Barbara Walters. So it's the comparing, and the reason the comparing, and that's why they need a partner. It's not about partner. They need somebody to bounce their ideas off. Lennon and McCartney, Simon and Garfunkel. Did you see how long the Beatles lasted once Lennon found Yoko?
Right.
Okay, he found a brilliant woman in Aquarian with really far out progressive ideas. There's nobody more progressive per sun sign than Aquarius. And, you know, John was not that pleasant. He was not that pleased dealing with Paul. He had a lot of ego problems, Paul being the Gemini. But he was a wonderful partner, and that's what Libra's about. And all these books that talk about Libra, the romantic sign with everybody, it's not true. Libras are romantic. They love a nice date. They love a young man or woman on their arm. They love to dress up and all that. But the lovey-dovey stuff comes next. In Scorpio. Okay, that's where daytime TV is. That's where the soul says, well, I've had enough of this lighthearted stuff. Let's have some sex, some lust, some intense connection. And the sex thing about Scorpio is way overplayed. Scorpio is really about intimacy, and it's about dedication. I dedicate myself to you. I mean, you want to listen to Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, they're Scorpio. Okay? I'm going to get you when the morning comes. When the morning comes. They're Scorpio, Neil Young singing his song. So Scorpio is all about the real, passionate, one-to-one, one plus one equals one. But it's very hard to do. And you just say the word Scorpio, and a lot of people get scared. And the reason they get scared is because they're intense people. They're fixed. They're what's known as fixed water. It's the first chapter in the book. Fixed water means these people are there to develop and intensify water, which is feeling. Feeling is really important in the zodiac. It's the thing that serial killers don't have. They don't have water. They don't have empathy. They don't have compassion for others. So the Scorpio is the Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor. It's the real intense relation. But what happens with them, they can either be the best or the worst. I mean best like Walter Cronkite and like Dan Rather, very strong personalities. But why they go bad, and this is something that every book should have in it, the reason Scorpios go bad, some of them, is because of self-hatred. I write a lot about the planets ruling the signs, one of the chapters, and Scorpio is about Pluto being their ruler. And when Pluto rules your chart, if you have a lot of Scorpio, Pluto is on your back consistently. Persistently, what did you mean by that? Do you really mean what you say? Are you really strong? It's the most courageous sign in the zodiac. But what it does is it pressures these Scorpios to be so overly dedicated. And what can happen is Scorpios do not deal well with betrayal. Betrayal does them, and if they think you betrayed them, they will cross you off the list of existence. Now, the good ones don't, because the good Scorpios have learned to not be so hard on themselves. But I guarantee you, when you see a bad one, it's because they've been butchering themselves since they were little. They've just so hard on themselves. And Pluto, his motto is, why are you taking up space? Why are you here? And it's a good motto because it wants you to become more purposeful. But when it becomes a mantra, it can really chew you up and it can turn to self-hatred like we see with Charles Manson, what it did to him and many other people. So this very tough stage, we're two-thirds through the zodiac now, this very tough stage, which is the master of relationships in the quadrant of relationships, yields to Sagittarius, the ninth sign. And now Sagittarius is about relationships too. You have Libra relationships, you have Scorpio, and you have Sag. But the Sagittarius is not about one-on-one relationships anymore. It's 10-on-10. Sagittarius is Walt Disney. That is Sagittarian energy. And sometimes these energies, these archetypes, manifest on purpose through a certain personality. The personality may not even know it. Like our president, Obama, he is Neptune visiting this planet. And that's why so many people don't trust him. Some people do. It's because people don't know how to deal with Neptune. And he's a different kind of fella, you know. He wants to talk before he brings out the bombs. Okay, I'm not going to get political. So Sag, the main thing about Sag, Sag says, my God, it was so hot back in that kitchen. Let's have some fun, right? What do you know, Molly? What are your Sag friends like?
Let's get out and explore and have some fun and lighten things up.
Yeah, and everybody loves being with them. Look at Jon Stewart. Sure they do, and it's fun and lighten up and fireworks. That's why it's Walt Disney. Bring your people from Ethiopia. Bring your people from Paraguay. I don't care. More the merrier. That's the wonderful thing of Sag. So a lot of that's because they get their behinds burnt so tough when they were in Scorpio. So they are things like colleges and exchange students and higher learning. And as you go through the zodiac becomes more exquisite. It becomes more developed and expansive. So I'll move along here because we have a lot to talk about. Eventually now the goat gets to the top of the zodiac. The goat has been paved, the way has been paved by Sagittarius, and the goat standing at the top of the zodiac is the Capricorn. And that's exactly where the Capricorn should be, because the Capricorn is the boss. He is responsible. She is dedicated. They have a great sense of responsibility and duty. You couldn't even chisel this out of these people. If you're a Capricorn, you've got duty and responsibility in your marrow. You don't know where it comes from. It comes from the Capricorn archetype. And that's why they can be dull. They can be cautious. And the shadow side is they don't believe anything. They don't trust anybody. They're conned into thinking that if you color inside the box, you'll be okay. But it's not true. So what happens now at the 10th stage, he's the sign of the bank manager. He's made it in the world. He's on top of the zodiac. But he's still got two lessons to learn. And the next lesson is Aquarius. And Aquarius looks back at Capricorn and says, you blew it. He said, what do you mean I blew it? I'm the head of the country club and this Rotary Club and all this. And the Aquarian says, yeah, you did all these things, but you lost your individuality. Because Capricorn is so much into conforming, which is where its power is, but it's also its weakness. So Aquarius is all about recovering and augmenting the individual rights. You do your thing. Very tolerant people, wonderful people, the best friends in the zodiac. They can't be touched, Aquarians. But they still have one lesson to learn, too. And because they're an air sign, they become fascinated, and Aquarians are always doing one thing. They're always putting the big mental picture together, like Paul Ryan, like Ronald Reagan, like Ed Schultz, like Abraham Lincoln, Edison. These people are obsessed with the bigger picture, and they're very idealistic, whether you like them or not. And if they get off on the wrong track, they're very dangerous, like Glenn Beck. They get off on the wrong track because they get fanatical and you can't tell them anything. Sarah Palin, the goods and the bad. Because they get fanatically a fanatical belief in what they perceive as the whole puzzle. And they're fixed signs. So they're not going to listen to you. They listen to only themselves. They're very advanced. Nevertheless, finally, the Aquarian is really symbolic of the total man. He's got it all. He doesn't need people, but he's very friendly. He doesn't need sex. He can live independently. He doesn't need family, but yet he's very friendly. He's got everything, but the one thing he doesn't have is he's still carrying the weight of being a self around in his shopping cart. He's got to carry that load. And if you're carrying a big load of logs, Molly, and I toss you a present, you can't catch it because your arms are just too busy holding on to that stuff. So that's why Pisces is last. That's why shows like yours are all about selflessness. It's what it's all about. And the reason it's all come to the fore now is because of what Neptune is doing traveling in Pisces with Chiron. And we're all feeling Neptune very strong, which is the ruler of Pisces. So the Pisces is where Christ was very Pisces-like. In essence, he said, to find yourself, you have to lose yourself. So the irony of the zodiac is through 11 stages, we've been fighting so hard for the self-development. And all Pisces wants to do is get rid of it. Not sadistic. It's just Pisces want to be left alone to go float on an inner tube out in the lake. They just want to be left alone and be part of the oneness. You could see this with George Harrison and the Beatles. You know, these egos up front battling it out. And Pisces, he's just in the background playing his little guitar. So the final stage is where the soul empties itself and returns back to the oneness. So the exquisite zodiac is very much that story, much more in detail. You could see how each sign is attached to each other. We explain clearly the plus and minus of using and abusing these energies, because all signs have them. And once you see how you fit in, you don't see your neighbor as a Capricorn or a Libra. You see them within the construct of the whole thing.
Beautiful. Yes, that was very eloquent and lovely, because it really explains the deeper, as you said, the deeper why of certain energies.
Right.
And their archetypes are the way they are. So I hope that connected the dots for our listeners and helped you understand your own energies better, not just your sun sign, because as Rick has said, you are not your sun sign. So this is about understanding
right.
your energies better.
Yeah, and to recap what each sign, I told you each sign is basically doing one thing. I think people like that. The Aries is busy asserting itself and challenging itself. It wants to experience itself to see what it can do. And if you get in the way, they may run you down, but they really don't mean to. They're not mean. They just got things to do. They only have a gas pedal, no brake. The Taurus is busy in the hobbit hole with the fuzzy feet and the warm fire and the tea and the smoke in the pipe and relaxed and enjoying all the sensual things around them. The Gemini is, look over there, look over there, look over there, look over under that rock. Look, they're just endlessly exploring. My mother was a Gemini. She would complain that we weren't getting to a party in time enough. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And we would get there. As soon as we get there, she wanted to leave. Because she had a pretty bad Gemini. She was always living in the future. But Gemini is living to explore. And the myth, we all have a myth. The myth of Gemini is that grass will always be greener over the fence. The Cancer is all about being buffered from the world, being with the family, and the crab goes underneath the rock. And if I'm buffered by my family, nothing can get to me, which is what happened at 9/11. This little Cancer country found out that somebody outside can get to us. And that was the beginning of what you're seeing now, which is, you know, the redefinition of America. Then the Leo comes along, and the Leo is, what are they always doing? They are always projecting themselves out and looking for validation. They don't let you know this, but that's what they're doing. Virgo, what are they always doing? Looking, what's wrong, fix it. What's wrong, fix it. Libra, always comparing their self to everybody else to see if they're normal. They're comparing their, because they're not a strong identity sign yet. So they're comparing. And by the time you get to Aquarius, the self is very strong and assured. Scorpio is always trying to merge. The urge to merge with the other, good or bad. Sag is always having fun and spreading fun to everybody. Do you ever notice the Sagittarians, how you'll be with them? We were talking about this. You'll be with them, you'll have...
Oh, I think we lost Rick for a moment. I'm sure he's going to come back, so I'll just give him space to dial back in. But he was talking about Sagittarius and how fun that sign is, and it's the explorer and the adventurer. So if you have strong Sagittarian energy, you probably recognize that in others, that they want to get out and they want to go and they want to travel. I don't want to take over his presentation, though, so I'm just going to give him a moment to call back in. And what I found really interesting about Rick's study of astrology is that he did all of this on his own. You know, he wasn't looking at all the cookbooks out there, so to speak. He wasn't trying to read other people's stuff and then repurpose it. He really focused on his own messages and his own answers. He focused on what his clients were going through and what he could find and observe from their experiences. You know, he has this new approach to astrology where he's using the answers that he's received and that work for him and his clients. So I want to let you know that he's really done a lot of work on this so that the answers and information he's giving us is very genuine and very fresh. So I'll let you continue, Rick. You were sharing with us some more of the Sagittarian energies.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Molly, because I'm really not trying to favor one sign or put down another sign. When I wrote this book, it was originally called Pisces, the Ultimate Sign. And I really mean that theoretically, but I changed the name because I didn't want people to think I favored it. It's just because we all, you see, the illusion of separateness is what Aries does. God says, in my opinion, God says, what if I were separate from myself and went out to experience myself? Because God wants to experience himself. Well, automatically you got duality. You got Aries and then you got everybody else. And the rest of the time the soul's trying to get back to the oneness, which happens in Pisces. So that's my story anyhow. I'm sure Volume 2 will have other thoughts. So we talked about the Capricorn making sure. And I talked about Capricorns, you know them, you know people with a lot of Saturn. They stand by the river, make sure the river keeps flowing. The river's going to be fine, just let it go. The Capricorns can't do it. What if this, what if that, what if this, what if that? They're so careful. The Capricorn needs to learn to loosen up, and the river's going to be fine. If there's a log jam, then maybe we'll call you, we'll move the logs. Okay. So the Capricorn is always making sure. That's what they do. The Aquarius is always doing one thing, which is putting the bigger picture together. This is why they're so unbelievable. I'll give you an idea. I'll give a Gemini idea. I'll give a Libra an idea. But Aquarius says, wow, do you realize with these two ideas what that means? The ramifications. That's where their brilliance comes in. And the Pisces, finally, is just letting everything be. Let it be by the Beatles. Those words, that's Pisces. Just let it be, it's okay the way it is. Quit struggling, let it be, let it be, let it be. Now, final thing I'll say, there are two kinds of Pisces. The ones that are really heavenly, and they're really blissful to be around, and they're very big, and you reach inside, and there's nobody there, because everything is in there, the ocean, or the lost Pisces, who is, oh man, don't worry about it, it'll work out, and they're like beach bums, and they just don't want to deal with anything, and they turn to alcohol, you know. So we've all got all these signs in us. But I must say this, Molly, because people will ask. If you're a Taurus, that does not mean you were an Aries in your last lifetime. And it doesn't mean you'll be Gemini in your next. So this is just a perception. Now we're ready for whatever questions you have.
Okay. Well, I'd love to segue into some of the current energies we have going on right now, including the Neptune Chiron in Pisces that you mentioned, and then also touching on the ongoing Uranus-Pluto action.
Well, the Uranus-Pluto is very, very grave, and we really need to talk about it. And in order to understand astrology, in 1961 through 69, the two radical, revolutionary, explosive planets of Uranus and Pluto were together in 1965, in years before, years after. What did you see? It was in the tame sign of Virgo, but still explosive. And almost every client that comes to me now is born around 65, and they're all 40-something, and they all got Uranus and Pluto together in Virgo. What you had was you had LBJ, and you had the war on poverty, and you had the war on drugs, and you had the voting rights and the equal rights and the civil rights. Well, now what's happened is when you have a conjunction like in the 60s, that's why we had the revolution we did. And in Virgo, Virgo's about every man deserves the same chance. Everybody is equal. Nobody in God's eyes is seen as better than somebody else. That's what's being questioned now. We're even telling people that we're asking the rich to give us some of their money. They're not being told. We're asking. So we've come so far from that. And the reason why is Uranus and Pluto, which were together, have now opened up after all these years, 40 years later. Now they're at a right angle to each other. They have been all year. They will be exactly square to each other. Square is a right angle. Six more times. You can follow this in my free newsletter if you're interested. I talk about it, and you just need to send me your email address, and pretty soon I'll have it where you can just click and sign up yourself. That's starself.com. But I've written many newsletters. They're already out there in archives. They're all free, no ads, and you can read all about this. Now, Uranus and Pluto are squaring each other. And when the square happens, the planets say, how have we been doing with the thing we promised? How have we been doing with racial matters? Terrible. How have we been doing with human rights? Not too good. How? We're even taking the voting rights away from people. That's why all these things are coming to pass right now. It's a test of our Uranus and Pluto promise that we made to ourselves, and the whole world did, in the 60s. Now, what's really even more intense is these two planets are staying at a right angle for relatively the next 2 years. Well, the past 2 weeks, Venus, little old Venus, was traveling along, and it happened to oppose Pluto, which formed a triangle to the Uranus. So that's called a T-square. So that's why things have been nuts, though, for the past 2 weeks. And I guarantee you, most of your clients have been feeling it. People say things like, I'm coming out of my skin. What came over you, Bob? What's eating you? Well, these are the planets, only people don't know it. They just don't know it. So the Uranus and Pluto is causing, the way it's hitting the American chart, and the way it's hitting, you look at all the revolutions along the Mediterranean and other countries, is Uranus wants us to be free, and Pluto wants us to be strong. And the fact that Uranus is having it out with Pluto, which is plutonic, which is plutocracy, this is why we're fighting against the big oil, the big money, the big machine, the Wall Street. And Uranus is symbolic of the daily man who has got his own freedom. So all these issues are being brought up to the nth degree now. And then as the other planets rotate and move faster, when Mars gets involved or the Sun gets involved, then you have different triangles being formed, and then you have several days where it all peaks. But this is why you're seeing anti-bullying, Uranus against Pluto. It's why you're seeing the attack on women and women starting to fight back. It's why you're seeing monolithic egos like Limbaugh seem to get away with whatever he wants to say. So, in effect, what's happening is we are now redefining who we are. And we have a very bad habit in this country, being Cancerian. We like, when we're safe, we like to sit back and watch TV and do nothing. We're very complacent. And we get our little iPods and iMacs and all, and we're real happy. But what 9/11 showed us was you can't afford to relax. So that's what's happening with these two planets. And they're going to continue for 2 years, and Pluto by itself is going to continue its trials till the year 2023.
That's a lot of energy that we're working with, and you described it so well collectively, and it's important to note that all of us are dealing with it individually in some
way.
That's right. It could be prominent or less prominent depending on your astrological makeup, but it is a universal theme right now.
Now, like the other day, I had a lovely Libra woman in my office, and she had Uranus and Pluto and Neptune all over her, and she was just doing fine. She was a brilliant woman. She was a CEO, and this is an example of somebody who has just kept her energies balanced all through her life, and that's the way it should be. It's not really knocking her boat over. Other people, the little gust of wind, and their boat sinks. You know, it just depends. That's why so much of an astrology reading really has to be a dialogue between me and you. It can't be the astrologer just sitting in front of you showing off. It's got to, you know that. It's got to be a dialogue to sense how good of a sailor are you. How well do you move when the wind blows? So the Uranus and Pluto is very grave because we are redefining. And one of the things it's really doing is making us question our BS beliefs. Where did this thing come in that we are the best in the world? We're okay being the police to the world. We're questioning these things. I'm not taking a position, but I'm saying it's very healthy to dig it up and question it. And the Pluto, look what it's done since 2008. It's just shown us so much corruption because Pluto's digging in and showing us in Capricorn all the corrupt institutions. Now, people keep saying to me, well, when is the recovery coming? Well, there's not a recovery. They're going to talk about recovery because they want to be elected, because the patient is still on the table. And you don't want them to sew you back up if you've still got other parts of you that have become diseased. You want to continue. So that's where the magical Neptune and Chiron come in about 3 years ago, and it came in through Obama. And I'm not saying pro or against Obama, but it came through him. And Neptune is the God love you planet. We're all in it together, the Pisces planet. And Chiron is get a hold of your mission, get moving, get into your mission. I can't tell you now, people are ready to jump on me when they walk into my office. They want to know what their mission is. This is not curiosity. These people are really geared up and they want to know. And that is symbolized by Chiron. No doubt about it. So when these two travel together, as they have been, as soon as they got together, what happened? Ted Kennedy died. The voice for medical care. And then Obama picked it up. And this is why the medical care thing, the health care thing, is not going to go away. It will not be defeated because you cannot defeat Neptune. Forget it. Neptune is just so powerful. And what's the flip side of Neptune? What's the flip side? Underhanded tricks. Smoke and mirror. Deceptions, lies, lies, lies. And I'm sure that sounds real familiar to a lot of people. So, what's happening indirectly is you see Neptune and Chiron have never traveled together before, especially in Pisces. And the reason why is Chiron was not discovered till 77, November. So in astrology, it's debatable, but a lot of astrologers feel if the planet has not been discovered, it doesn't exist. But anyhow, you can see since 1977, which is really about the birth of all the times of these people becoming healers. Heal this, heal this, heal this, heal that. Reiki masters. Every other person's a Reiki master. But now, since the Neptune and Chiron have been traveling together, and they'll be exactly on the ascendant at 2012, December 21st, at 11 minutes after 11 and 11 seconds in Greenwich, England. I'll say it again. December 21st, which we're all talking about, the end of the Mayan calendar, I kept looking at the chart. I kept seeing nothing. I was not impressed. Do a chart for December 21st. So then somebody, I don't know how, they gave me the birth time. They said that the Mayan calendar will end on December 21st, 2012, at 11:11:11 in the morning in Greenwich, England. And I did the chart for that moment, and on the ascendant is Neptune and Chiron. When I wrote this book, it was started when Neptune and Chiron were together. When I released this book, the book would not go out. I wanted it out at 5 o'clock. I tried to get Amazon to release it. It would not go out. 8 o'clock, I tried to release it. It wouldn't go out. 9 o'clock, I released it. It went out fine. I did the chart for that moment. Neptune and Chiron were on the top of the chart. So Neptune and Chiron have formed this book. What you were saying about the collective is beautiful. What's happening now, and I firmly believe this, the spirits, God, the angels, the divine, whatever word you want, they know we're in trouble. And I really believe, without a doubt, that the Mayans were guided by higher intelligence, and I'm not a UFO chaser. But this 11-11-11 is 37 seconds off. 37 seconds after the exact time that the Mayan calendar ends, 37 seconds is the beginning of our winter. That's how much it's off. And they did this 25,000 years ago, and didn't even know about the Gregorian change to the calendar. So what I think's happening, Molly, is we're feeling it now. Thank God. And what Neptune is saying, and I write a lot about this, I'll continue, is we cannot continue like we have. We see the Earth falling apart. That's no drugged out hippie talking. I mean, that's the fact. And what Neptune is doing, what I finally heard and made sense to me, was 2012, the Mayan calendar, is the end of the planet's youth. It's time to grow up. And that's what Eckhart Tolle said in A New Earth. He said, evolve or die. And that's what's going. And we can see certain political parties trying all these different things that aren't going to work anymore. The bottom line won't work anymore. And that's why we have all these wonderful people like you and Eisenstein with his new theory on economics and the wonderful astrologers, and they're coming out of the woodwork. The OM Times magazine is just full of all these wonderful new ideas, and we're turning on all the people who've been asleep. And we're seeing that we cannot keep living as if we're not one. We have to start living as if we're one, or who knows what. Now, how have you been feeling? You must see it everywhere.
Yes, and I see that there's many people who are ready for a new level of understanding and new levels of consciousness. And that's how I see this unfolding, is that there's people who are waking up, and they just want more information about themselves, how to be of service, how to use their skills. And that's why, for example, your information today about astrology is so beneficial, because it opens people up to greater understanding.
Right.
And they can contribute based on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, astrology is good because you can use it with everything. You don't have to become an astrologer. It's the rare individual that does. You know, but, and by the way, I want to say, I'm starting now, did I say this? I talk so much. I'm putting a free course on YouTube. I'm just starting to film it. Did I say
tell
it? I said it.
You did not share it with us.
I didn't share it with the crowd. I've got a camera, and I'm going to go into my spare room, and I'm going to teach a beginner's course on astrology for nothing. And I'm putting it on YouTube. And it's in the very early stages, and it's going to be very slow. It's going to go my pace, and I'm going to teach you what the houses are, what the planets are, how to do it. And you may want to follow along. It may be too much, but it'll be probably several more months yet, but it'll be announced through the newsletter. But you're right. I mean, another thing that's going on now, and I wrote a lot about this, is I really believe the age of energy is over. Because the last thing... What's the only word you heard the last 25 years? Energy, energy. Got good energy, got bad energy. But I really believe with the quantum field here now, it's all turning to thought and intention, which is energy, yes. But I think when you read the books of Dr. Wayne Dyer and you read so many other wonderful authors, it's all coming down to what you intend. And people are healing themselves with thought. People are healing themselves with intention. And you guys know all about it. I'm sure you're all sucking up all those books. It's a marvelous time. You can even see the backbone is breaking on traditional doctors. They don't know what this is. They're starting to say, I don't know what it is. And people are going to alternative sources, which is represented by Chiron. Chiron being the same word as chiropractor. So we're in for a new, exciting time. And by talking to all your people there, I can project all the people that come see me. There are a lot of people that want to do massage. There are a lot of people that want to do energy healing. A lot of people want to stay put. Since Pluto's in Capricorn, a lot of people want to stay put. Let's say they're in a bank, but they've been keeping their mouths shut all these years in these board meetings, and everything's bottom line money, or a college. How many accepted? How much money? But people are now staying put in their jobs, but they're opening their mouth. That we can't just do bottom line. We have to treat these students as one of our own. You know, and it projects to the bigger picture of, I can't feed you because you're not looking for a job. I can't give you health care because you're on welfare, whatever. Neptune and Chiron will not hear this now. They're not going to hear it. So we've got some intense fights going on. We got the Neptune and Chiron trying to infiltrate the collective mind. At the same time that the Pluto and Uranus is having it out, and that's the battle with the rich. That's the battle with the plutocracy. And, you know, the number one thing I've been preaching in my newsletters is don't project. Don't project your problem on your wife or your husband or your kid or your job. They may be part of the problem. But look inside. Where are you blocked? You know, Molly, what I do now is very simple. I don't answer any more questions about my job, my sex, my house, am I moving? I don't look at that stuff. I answer one question. Are you blocked or not? Are you blocked? If you're blocked, we're going to open you up. If you're unblocked, you're going to move. And I tell you what, people are ready. They come to see me and they're ready to find that block and get it out of them. And they open up to me because they know I'm going to dig in there until I find it. And, boy, that's what my next book will be, which will be called The Intimate Zodiac. It'll be about how as soon as you get unblocked, everything starts to work right. Your health gets better. Your money comes in. The bad boss leaves. The relationships get better. So it's all that. And, you know, hats off. hats off 2-3 times to shows like yours, because you're spreading the word in so many ways, and there you are with all your airy stuff at the top of the chart. You know, you're meant to do this. You're meant to be pioneering and leading the way and bringing us together.
Yes.
So what
and
are you, what are, go ahead.
That brings me a lot of joy, because it is about a collective unity,
yeah,
consciousness, and that we've all, there's room for all of us to be empowered and to contribute from that space. And
yes,
that's really what the intention is that everyone listening here, you're probably getting insights about yourself. And after you get those insights, then, like Rick said, blocks can be removed and you can see how to be of better service. You can see your new gifts. You connect with yourself in a way that empowers you and benefits others.
Yeah, and that's why other people get mad and they start throwing the Bible at you or whatever, is because they want what you got. You know, I think that astrology makes an atheist a better atheist, and he makes a Christian a better Christian than a Catholic. It's not religiously based. You know, I look at your chart, I'm doing your sixth harmonic, which is a type of chart, and number six corresponds to Chiron. So your sixth harmonic is your chart of your destiny. And in your destiny chart, you got Chiron at 0 degrees Libra in the ninth house, opposite Jupiter. And what that means is you are here to heal the public by spreading information, helping people learn to think differently, how to help them. Your airy spirit is behind, is the motor, but what your real destiny is, with Chiron symbolized here, and Libra is the sign at the midheaven also, you're here to help people think. That's what Libra is about. Leader of ideas. You know, John Lennon, Lee Iacocca. You're here to help people think otherwise. And the chart has many, many other factors, but that's the main thing here. And one of the things I want to say to everybody is, please put your thoughts aside for a while and at least consider that you are being led. When I walk in my office, I don't know who's there in the office with me, but all of a sudden my mind just gets really big and I just start knowing things. I call it intuitive, whatever word you want. But we're being led. We're not alone. We're being led, and I don't want to get preachy. But, you know, every religion says the same thing. Every spiritual journey says the same thing. That there's something bigger than us that's guiding us. There's something bigger that introduced me to Molly somehow. I don't know
that's
how that happened.
Right. We met through a mutual contact, and things just clicked and it came together. And I interpret that to be, not only do we have similar purpose and sharing, but there's a level of trust there. You know, we're just trusting how this is unfolding. And that's a choice that we're all being given right now. Can you trust and get your mind out of the way and really trust what's being brought to you, what you can change, what you can revolutionize for yourself, and follow that? Because that is the higher energy of the Neptune and Chiron in Pisces as well.
And you must understand that it's a very Aries thing too. She got four planets in Aries, I think, something like that. But Aries is a very three planets. Aries is a very trusting, open, innocent sign. And God love them. I mean, we need that. We don't need any more of the suspicion and the jealous and those dark energies. We see what those energies are doing. We see people like Carolyn Mace and other wonderful authors. What's the woman with her own network? The Libra woman. Elder woman, she's got her own network. Hay House Radio.
I mean,
these people, you know, she's surrounded by people with AIDS because they come to her to get cured. And what does she do? She says, I'm not here to cure you. I'm here to teach you how to cure yourself. Well, the number one thing I like to say is my favorite thing in my office is sending somebody home with a better connection to spirit inside themselves. That's when I've really, that's when I've given them something. Not somehow I blew their mind. But they go home and they've got a real connection inside. And when you've got that, man, you can, what do they say, move mountains?
Move mountains, yes. So on that note, Rick, do you have anything to share with us about the rest of August and into September as we move forward and connect better with spirit? Do you see any themes coming up that will help us move through?
Well, let me take a look here. I have not written my September newsletter yet. The August one is out there.
Okay.
They always go out on the last day of the month. Well, the main thing is, let me get this up here. The main thing is that the Uranus-Pluto is going to continue. The Neptune-Chiron is going to continue very strongly. The Uranus-Pluto is going to continue. You're going to be dealing with a lot of toxins, everybody, because guess what? It's election time. And there's just so much division in this country, and there's so much fighting going on that was symbolized by Saturn opposite Uranus. When Saturn was opposite Uranus, it was exactly opposite at 8:30 in the morning on last election day. That's exactly when it was, on that day. Saturn is the right wing and Uranus is the left. Saturn is the right, Uranus is the left. And in astrology, you don't want one side beating the other. You want them to work together, to blend energies together. And so we're continuing what I think you're going to see, Molly. I think you're going to continue to see a lot of people are having a very hard time watching TV. They're fed up with politics. They're fed up with the vote fraud. They're fed up with all this fighting. And I think you're going to see an apex of that come to us in November. And then I think it's going to start to subside. And I think when we get into 2013 and Neptune's going to take over, one of the things that's really peculiar is I did the chart for the morning. You always do the chart for noon. If it's general, you do it for noon for Washington, D.C., if you want to know about the country. And the noon chart on Election Day is really a pablum. There's really not much happening in that chart. And it shocked me because I thought this election would lift the roof off. But the USA itself is in for a lot of very big challenges because Pluto is going to oppose the United States Sun. In astrology, that means that your enemies that you're aware of are going to uprise, and that's the Middle East. That doesn't mean they're going to start a war or that we will, but it definitely means we're going to get close to it and we're going to be thinking about it. And that's what Neptune's trying to say. Another war's not going to fix anything. We've got to solve these age-old civil wars is what they are, these age-old fighting techniques. And then the big one, Molly, will be near 2020 when Pluto returns to its original spot in the USA's chart. And it's never happened. It only happens when you're 258 years old, whatever, something like that. When the Pluto return, what it means is very simple. Are you going to get real or not? That's what Pluto means. Are you going to get real or keep faking your relationship? Are you going to get real with yourself and give yourself a real career that means something? Or are you going to cop out and worry about your insurance? There's so many people that are killing themselves because they want insurance. Isn't that funny? I took a leap. I left the computer industry. I left with nothing. I came out of Pittsburgh with my laptop and sleeping on people's couches. And next thing you know, one gig after one gig after one gig, and I'm reading for people. People, they're not giving into it anymore. That's what's happening. 3 years ago, people would say, I really want to quit my job because I want to do light working. Now they're doing it. They don't care anymore. People have had it. They've had it. And they're learning that God wasn't lying to us, that he said to us, I will provide for you. I will provide. And that's sure what I found. And I just want to give courage, my little story, encouragement to your listeners. Look what Molly's done. Look what she's done, this magnificent program and ones like her. They're popping up everywhere. You can go on the web and have your own show. You know, get out and do your thing. If you can't do it completely, I tell you what broke me, Molly, was I started doing it for free. I could not get anywhere because people have misunderstandings of astrology. I'd have these wonderful lectures. Nobody would come for $10, $20 because they got a pigeonhole how they think astrology belongs next to their comics. You know? So I started doing free lectures with free mini readings, and man, I got all kind of crowds. Then people turn on. So what I'm saying to you is you may have people in your audience that want to do numerology, they may want to do spiritual healing, whatever. That is not you that's urging you to do that. That is the divine working through the archetype inside you. And I really encourage you to let it out. And when you let it out, you don't get sick. You get healthier.
Well, that was beautiful. That was an excellent way to summarize this and to remind people of the purpose and to connect them with possibilities. We are coming up against time, so I want to let everyone know that you can connect with Rick on his website, starself.com, and you can check out his book at theexquisitezodiac.com. And he also writes regular articles on OM Times Magazine, which is a website too. So you can find him in many places. Plus, as you mentioned, you'll have your YouTube channel with a lot of free information coming out.
And I'm going to mention one thing. I'm not going to allow any comments.
YouTube?
I'm not allowing any comments. Could you imagine me up all night trying to make sure everybody's happy? Oh, God. You're going to see the lesson as it is or take it or leave it because it's such a difficult subject to teach, and I think I'm pretty good at it. And, you know, the main thing about astrology, if you start to do, you're going to be wrong for a while. You're going to be wrong. And I was wrong for like 20 years. You just have to stick to it, keep pushing, and I encourage you whatever your light work is.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rick. You've shared a lot with us today, a lot of wisdom, and I appreciate you being here.
Oh, Molly, I can't thank you enough. It was great fun, and I really appreciate your audience, and good luck to everybody.
Thank you, everybody. We will have a quick half-hour break if you're listening to us live, and we'll be back with author Dr. Irene Cohen, who will share with us her guidance and tips for listening to your inner voice. Thank you so much.